harmony of the Gospels. We're going to talk about the sign of His coming. We're going to look at two illustrations about the sign of His coming. But before we do so, let's thank the Lord for our morning. Heavenly Father, we're just going to thank You and praise You for this opportunity to go through the Scriptures and to harmonize the Gospels. Lord, our emphasis today is upon Your second coming. So we look forward to hearing from You today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you're looking at your sheet, hopefully you got one. If you need to get one, right back there they are. We've already talked about the destruction of the temple and just using Matthew's account, Matthew 24, 1 and 2. We've talked about the disciples' question that they put forth to the Lord concerning His second coming. Really, there were two of them in Matthew 24, verse 3, and how and when it was. And then the signs of the coming end of the age, which we looked at last week. Now, this morning, you can see that we're going to focus on the sign of His coming as found in Matthew 24, verses 29 to 31. You also note that this account can be found in Mark 13 and also Luke 21. So let's begin and see what we can discover. What does Jesus say are some of the cosmic signs immediately after the tribulation? Matthew 24, verse 29 says this, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Well, that sounds like a pretty dramatic time, doesn't it? Well, listen to how Mark puts it. But in those days, after the tribulation, same phrase, the sun shall be darkened, very similar. The moon shall not give her light, all right. The stars of the heavens shall fall, and the powers that are in the heavens shall be shaken. Now, so those two accounts, Matthew's and Mark's, very, very similar. And now there's some question about this powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. Now, he's talking about some physical forces. Are they talking about spiritual forces, you know, going on? So there's some question about that. Maybe it's both. Now, Luke's account of this, Luke 21, verse 25, he writes, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon. All right, not a lot added. In the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, and the sea and the waves roaring. So you see, Luke's account is a Reader's Digest concerning some, but then we do have some other things added upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, and the sea and the waves are roaring. Now, I mentioned here on your sheet, all of this will accompany the coming of the Lord to judge. And then I write, this is a contrast to the claims of the false messiahs and the coming of the true Messiah. Because we've already seen that previously, that, you know, there are going to be many false Christs, and some will be preaching prosperity, and it's not going to be prosperous in those days. It's going to be the sign of His coming, and it's going to be some cosmic. Now you say, well, explain to me how the sun's going to be darkened and the moon's not going to give her light. Well, obviously, if the sun's darkened, the moon is not going to give her light, because that's where it gets. What about these stars falling from heaven? Because when you talk about a star, many stars might be bigger than the earth. All right, now, of course, we know that there's different times we have what kind it comes down, and the meteorites, you know, aspects of things breaking off and being spewed out. It's going to be a time where I am sure that the people believe that the end of end of the world is at hand. And it's going to be such that people are going to be hiding. And, you know, we talked about in Revelation how they look to hide in caves and every place else. But you can understand why you want to find a cave in the, in these days if meteorites are hitting and so forth. So, all right. What else will accompany his coming? Look at the very bottom of your first sheet. And then shall appear the Son of Man in heaven. The sign of the Son of Man in heaven. The sign of, I don't want to mess that up. It's the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Now, what is this sign? Here's just some of the things I found. Well, it could be lightning, huh? His Shekinah glory. The heavenly Jerusalem. Or are we talking just about Jesus? All right. And your guess is probably as good as mine. We could turn to Daniel 7, 13 and 14, and you see a glimpse of the whole aspect that the Son of Man is coming to receive his kingdom. Now, I mention this. All of this did not occur in 70 A.D., so we must be looking ahead to Jesus coming. Now, were there some catastrophes and you know going on in 70 A.D.? Yes. How many heavenly? Listen, I'm not just sure about that, but I'm sure there was some. But obviously, it was not to the degree of what we just read. So that means to you and I is that it's still ahead. This is not completed, because remember, there's some who believe that this is all over. The tribulation aspect is all over. It was all over in 70 A.D. But when you read this aspect, you know that, no, this has not been fulfilled. Now, watch this. What will the unsaved of the world see? How will they respond? Matthew says this, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power, great glory. Mark says it like this. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and glory. Luke. And then shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Well, how are the people going to respond? How he says all the tribes of earth, one of the responses is going to be what? They're going to be mourning. In other words, the whole aspect about the unsaved. The unsaved, their response is, you know, mourning. The response of just great fear. And how is this described? How is his coming described in Matthew, Mark, and Luke? With what? All three of them say what? With power and glory, with great power and glory. One's got power and great glory, the other's got great power and glory, and the other has got power and great glory. But that's how he's coming, with great power, with great glory. And I give you some passages that you can, you know, Acts 1:11 says, as you've seen him go, you're going to see him what? Come again. And Revelation 1:7 speaks about his coming, especially Revelation 19, 11 through 16 also speak of that. Now, what will the Lord do at this time? It says, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, Mark says it like this. And then shall he send, very similar, his angels, and they shall gather together his elect, all right, same, where? From the four winds, from the uttermost part of heaven. Now, look what I write here on the bottom of your page. Those who have been saved after the rapture of the saints are God's elect. Now, this may also include Old Testament saints and believers martyred during the tribulation. In other words, not only Old Testament saints, but those believers who've been martyred during the tribulation. Again, that's just a thought of some who are believing, you know, God's elect at this time. And a couple of references. Say that again? No. Now, let's do this. Let's jump over to Revelation chapter 6. We might take a look at that. Revelation 6. Look at verses 9 through 11. During the fifth seal, he says, "And he opened the fifth seal, and I saw under the altar souls of them that were slain for the word of God." Okay, this is during the tribulation. "And for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?' And white robes were given unto everyone. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." So that's why some believe that this group, his elect, will also include those who have been martyred during that great tribulation time. Yes. Well, there are going to be very few, right? Yeah. Nah, right. Now watch Revelation 20. Revelation 20, verse 4 says this, "And I saw the thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So there you see now this elect that's being gathered, including definitely those who've been martyred during the tribulation time. All right, any other questions? Right, let's take a look then at next page. How should the elect, now we saw how the nations are going to, they're going to mourn, all right? Because judgment's coming, should be mourning. Well, how should the elect respond at this time? And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And I mentioned this, the redeemed Jews and Gentiles are going to enter into the millennium kingdom, living on earth and in their natural bodies. And those are some of the references that refer to that.
What's he control?
Yeah. All right, what's he control? When we talk about, what do we learn about our triune God in these verses? Basically, he controls what? Yeah, when you see what's going to happen, you know, whether we're talking about sun, moon, stars, he definitely controls all of the, you know, all of the bodies, terrestrial bodies, celestial bodies. All right, what about, we see that God is going to collect his elect, we know that. What do these verses teach us about mankind? When he comes again, what is mankind? How are they going to respond? The unsaved are going to mourn. And, of course, the righteous, they should, lift up their heads, for the redemption draweth nigh. Now, you read something like this. How might it change your behavior? Anybody? Witness more? All right, good. Yep. And the thing that we have to be mindful is we can never acknowledge our God as sovereign too much. I mean, you read something like this, you begin to say, man, he's in control of the sun, the moon, the stars, the heaven. And so, I mean, we can never be mindful of that too much. And, of course, mention the aspect of witnessing to our family, friends, recognizing that God's going to judge the world, the wicked. Of course, ultimately we need to be looking forward to it, knowing that we are part of God's elect. All right, let's move on. Let's take a look at our first illustration, the parable of the fig tree. The Lord, he continues to teach now. And we see this appears in Matthew, Mark, and also Luke's account. Let's take a look at what does Jesus say we can learn from a fig tree? Now remember, this is still Sermon on the Mount. He's still dealing with his second coming. And what's he say? He says, we'll now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know summer is nigh. Now learn a parable of the fig tree, Mark says. When her branch is yet tender and putting forth leaves, you know that summer is near. And Luke, he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now at hand. All right, so he's going to take a look. When you see the tree is young, summer's here. Summer's coming. Now, how is he going to relay that? Physical evidence. He says this. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Mark says, and ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Luke, so likewise ye, when you shall see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is at hand. So now you got a little bit more. Know ye that the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, and when he's talking about when you see all these things, what is he referring to? The things that we just what? Yeah, the things that we were just talking about. All those signs. Now, I ask you this question on the bottom of your sheet. Now, what percentage of the signs must come to pass before his coming? All of them. See, now, we might see a number of them. Certainly, they saw a number of them in 70 A.D. But did they see all of them? And the answer is no. When all of the signs come to pass, know that it's near, even at the door. All right, now, let's take a look at our next page. What does Jesus say will not happen till this occurs? Matthew says, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Now think about that for a minute, all right? Mark 13, verse 30. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these be done. Luke, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Now, do you see why some believe that this was fulfilled in 70 A.D.? because they're thinking that this generation he was referring to, the generation that was he was presently addressing. Now, the reason why we know that that's not true is because, let me read to you, Matthew 21, verse 43. He'd already told them in Matthew, back in chapter 21, that they're not going to be part of it. He says it like this. Therefore, I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. They're not going to be part of it. What he's talking about is a future generation. He's talking about that generation at that time. Now, that generation who is experiencing all of these signs, that it's going to be done before that generation passes away. Now, how sure is Jesus' prophecy? Well, he says this in Matthew, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Mark says it very similar. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And I write here, look at his promise is sure. For it would be easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for Jesus' words to fail to come to pass. So Matthew, Mark, Luke didn't have a comment on that, to how sure is Jesus' prophecy, but Matthew and Mark affirmed it. Now, did we learn anything about the triune God in those last two thoughts particular aspect? Well, the thing definitely is that God has given to us signs that when Jesus will come again. Did we learn anything about mankind in these verses? Well, those who were living at that time should be what? And they should be looking for him. Because he's saying, you know, this generation, the generation that's living right now, these things are not passed away until it's all been fulfilled. So certainly they should be, that generation should be looking. And, of course, it comes back to the aspect, you know, we need to be telling others about Jesus coming again, of gathering his elect, about judging the unbelievers. We need to be sharing that. Now, one more illustration for the morning. The days of Noah. Talking about some illustrations that he's coming again. And we just looked at the first illustration. We're going to look at the second illustration. And it talks about the days of Noah. Now, this is only found in Matthew and Mark's account. What does Jesus say about the day and the hour of his coming? But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father. Mark says it like this. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. So Mark, he added that little phrase, neither the Son. Now we know the Son is, he's omniscient and so forth. But in this aspect, he was saying, you know what, here's an aspect that only the Father knoweth. Now, what does Jesus say the day and hour? How does Jesus say the day and hour will come? But as the days of Noah, shall come, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until that day that Noel entered into the ark. Well, I did it. At least I was consistent. All right. So, what were the people doing? What are the people doing? What were they doing in Noah's day? Right. They were oblivious. to what was going on. And it wasn't that they hadn't heard it, because we know that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So at least those in around him, they knew about it. But they just kept on with their daily living, with no thoughts at all about Jesus' second coming. All right. Matthew 24, 39 says this, "And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Now, I write to you on your sheet, no one knows the precise moment that the Lord will return. Now, we know we got some signs. But the aspect of the exact, the precise moment of his return, nobody knows. It's going to be sudden, and many, most, will not be prepared. That's what we can ascertain from what Jesus is writing to us. Matthew 24, 40 and 41 says this, "Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken, the other left." In other words, definitely we see that the Lord's going to judge both men and women. He uses illustration of both of them, right? Now, I also mentioned to you, the ones taken are taken to be judged. Those left will be enter into the millennial kingdom. Lots of times we think, when you read that, you say, they're being taken up. Well, no, they're being taken to be judged in this illustration. Pardon? Yeah, I would assume that it's going to be death and judgment to follow. Because here, but again, you see, the emphasis here is that are they going to be prepared? Even though we have the scriptures, even though we have these signs, are the people going to be prepared? No more than in the days of Noah. You say, man, there's no way. We've got television. We've got Facebook. We got it all today. Everybody's going to know Jesus is coming. They're just going to keep right on living the life that they've been living. Yeah, right. Yeah, so much for last rites. Yeah. Because they're just going to be eating, drinking, and he's going to come. One's going to be taken. The other's going to be left. They're out in the field working. The women are at the mill grinding. Boom. One's taken. One's left. But again, as you look at this, this is maybe a passage at times where you can share with someone, you know, when they're saying, this is the way they were living in Noah's day. What happened? The flood. Of course, the skeptics will say, there's no such sign. It was a myth. The flood was a myth. And this is where you come to realization, unless God is opening eyes and ears, it is going to be a myth to them. Only thing that changes thing from a myth to a reality is the Spirit of God, quickening a man, quickening a woman. Because in and of ourselves, the Bible teaches us that one, we will not; two, that we cannot come to the Lord. And when you read something like this, and then it makes a reality to you. I see what's going on because you. All of these signs that might be coming, and they're seeing all of the, and having the word, the warning, it's going to mean nothing to them unless they're part of God's elect. All right, now, that's the first couple of them, and then we'll continue with some more. But anybody got a thought or you'd like to add or a comment? All of this about Jesus' second coming. Blessing for the elect, cursing for the non-elect. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, they'll be elect. Well, there will be elect who will be martyred during the tribulation. I don't know that everyone will be martyred during the tribulation. I believe there'll still be some that will be. Maybe I missaid something, but many will be martyred, but not all during the tribulation. Especially remember those last 3.5 years of the tribulation. There'll be some that will, you know. It's like, I think that's what's going to happen. There'll be definitely some elect who will not be martyred during the tribulation. So, anybody else? Any other questions? Any thoughts? All right. Well, Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you that because of the work that you did in our hearts and minds and quickening us with your Spirit by your word, through various circumstances in our lives, you drew us unto yourself, Lord, making us part of your elect. For this we just give thanks and praise. And Lord, help us to be mindful that we're to warn others, because even with all of the unsaved, there are some out there yet, Lord, that you're going to use us as your instrument in sharing the word as you quicken them by the Spirit unto salvation. So let us not grow weary with well-doing and warning, admonishing, perhaps even sharing such passages that we're looking at here this morning, that some, those that you are drawing, Lord, will be drawn into the kingdom of God. We just want to thank you, Lord, not only for your first coming, but Lord, we look forward to your second coming. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray, amen.